The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
God has opened up so many doors and created some platforms that I couldn't have created myself. Television and radio and books and speaking.
Next, former Governor Mike Huckabee encourages our polarized nation to work together.
I'm not trying to do a Christian television show because it's not that venue, but I want to be a Christian on television.
More conversation and less confrontation next on Life Today.
It is to come into your home or wherever you're watching. I'm James Robinson. My wife Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. I'm introducing the person that used to introduce me on television. I feel it's just kind of funny. It's like big home week. I mean, he's been back, you know, quite often. It's not like we haven't seen him for a long time. It's not like you don't just get to see plenty of him. I mean, you get to see him a lot because he's on television so much. But it is an honor. I'm telling you, it's an honor to really welcome someone that I not only find myself expressing gratitude to God for having the opportunity of knowing him, of being his friend, being an encourager to him, but watching him become such a bright, shining light for truth and really holding up a standard that will enable all of us to make necessary corrections. I really do appreciate him. Would you welcome to Life Today, Governor Mike Huckabee.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, man. I really am happy about your journey. I mean, I want you to know even from just any standard you want to look at it from, it's become quite successful, the things that have happened to you. But I rejoice, but above all, I rejoice that with the success and with the visibility, I feel like that you're pointing people in the best possible direction and the most meaningful and beneficial to every one of us.
Well, that's my prayer. And God has opened up so many doors and created some platforms that I couldn't have created myself. Television and radio and books and speaking, all of which I want to be a faithful witness. And that's, you know, really my prayer is that even though I work in really the secular marketplace, secular television and secular radio, there's such an opportunity to be able, whether it's to have a guest like you and Jay Richards on to talk about your book, Indivisible, or whether it's to bring on, just a couple of months ago, John Ramsey, whose daughter, JonBenet Ramsey, was horribly murdered. He went through unbelievable persecution by the local police department, later proven beyond any doubt through DNA testing that he nor his wife had anything to do with it. But his story, his faith journey through that death and through the death of an older daughter and through the wife that was with him during that time and the mother of JonBenet, how God was able to give him grace to do it. Well, putting him on my television show and letting him share the gospel,
it
not with
great
people who are tuning into Christian television, but people who are tuning into secular television,
right,
yet they're hearing the gospel. And that's a great thrill, too.
And it was a great program. You did a super job. I was thrilled that you gave him enough time to explain that journey because really, in some way, everybody that was watching the program could relate to pain and then how he dealt with it. You may not know this, but he and his wife came here as the only place they went together when they first decided they would sit down together and tell the story.
Wow.
And they said they came here because they felt like they would be loved and understood while they were being assaulted. And we really had media all over this place. I mean, the news were everywhere. Why would you even have them? In other words, that was the attitude people had. How could you have them? They were looked down on, and they came in and gave a great story. The fact that he's been able to finish the story out now and really give God so much glory even through the false accusation and pain, and you did a great job.
Well, thank you very much.
I love the fact that you're able, that you feel like you have the freedom to still express your faith on your shows, because I think that's so important that you get to be who God's created you to be. And
you know, as I told people, I'm not trying to do a Christian television show because it's not that venue, but I want to be a Christian on television. Right. And to me, that's the distinction, is that God's opened that door, given the platform. One of the things that I really believe that I'm called to do is to be a voice for the sanctity of human life, to be a clear and hopefully compassionate voice, not to be against abortion. That's one of the things that we've seen so much among the Christian community. People know what we're against. What they don't know is what we're for. And we need to help people to understand that Jesus didn't go up and down the streets of Nazareth or Capernaum and point people out and tell them, you know, you're going to bust hell wide open. He walked up and down the streets and took the worst sinners in the community, and he loved them. He didn't approve of their sin. He was honest about their sins, but they knew they were sinners. He didn't have to browbeat them over that. What they needed to know was, is there any hope for me to get out of this terrible, sinful human condition? And of course, that to me is the power of the gospel, is that there's hope for every human being.
Yeah, the only hard words Jesus ever had were for the smug religious people who were actually looking down on other people and in their self-righteousness had gotten as far from righteousness as it's possible to get.
Absolutely.
Now, he had some strong words for them because they were so disguised as white sepulchers looking good, but on the outside full of dead men's bones. And so he continually reproved them. And I feel like what you've done, Mike, is you have, it's going to call you Mike, Governor, is it okay?
Please call me Mike, because if you call me something else, I won't know how to answer to it, so...
I really do believe that what you've done is inspire people to release the life and love of God in their life and to reach across lines. As a matter of fact, I know your background. I know you are Republican, but I don't hear you waving a Republican banner. I hear you holding up a banner of truth to Republicans, to Democrats, to independents, to libertarians, to every person and say, look, let's consider these things. And you said, because it's gotten back to me by rumor mill, that you wanted to have a conversation program more than a confrontational or just say a controversy program. You know there'll be some of that.
Right.
But you wanted to carry on a reasonable conversation. I have watched you talk to people that I know you would disagree with in every area, and yet you had a civil conversation with them. And I find myself praying, let Governor Huckabee be an example to where Congress can learn to do that, where men and women can do that with their spouses. You know, it would be wonderful.
Well, you know, those great theologians, the Rolling Stones, did a song that says, you can't always get what you want. And I think sometimes we forget that in the realm of politics, nobody gets everything. By the way, that's true in marriage. Nobody gets everything they want. You learn to accept the other party or the other person in a marriage as somebody whose ideas may not be your own, but somebody with whom you have to eventually find a way to make the relationship work. When I was a governor, I had a legislature, James, that was 90% Democrat. Now, I'm a Republican governor in a state that had the most lopsided legislature in America, more than Massachusetts, more than Vermont, more than Maine. Those guys didn't know what lopsided legislature were. It was not an environment where every day the legislators woke up and said, let's see what we can do to make that Republican governor look good. I mean, their day was starting with, let's go beat him up. So I understood that, and I knew that if we were going to effectively govern, the first thing you have to do is to say, we're not right all the time, and they're not wrong all the time. You just have to approach it that they may have some ideas that you can at least live with, so find out what they are. Find out what it is they want. What I see going on in Congress today, the Republicans on one side of the room, Democrats on the other side of the room, and both of them say, this is what we want. We want all of what we want, and we want you to have nothing. Nothing. And when it's all or nothing, now or never, we get nothing, and we get it forever. That's what's gridlocked Washington right now.
Play that again. Roll it over. It's so true. You have watched my journey. And because we kind of started our journeys in so many ways together. I don't feel like we've ever been separated in our heart's desire to see God pleased and to see the American people blessed and to see this blessed nation continue to bless other nations. I think that's the desire of our heart. We wrote the book Indivisible. I wrote it with a Catholic.
Book.
Now, you think about this, coming out of the hardline, gunslinging, right-wing Southern Baptist, fundamental Baptist, and write a book with a Catholic? What on earth is happening, Governor?
Praise the Lord and pass the books, man. I mean, yeah, but that's the power of it. It shows that when you and Jay wrote that book together, it was about truth. It wasn't about a particular theology. It wasn't about a doctrinal position that was divisive. It was about exactly the things that we need to talk about as an American family, and that is that there are bigger truths that all of us need to relate to that are bigger than whether we baptize in a certain way with a certain wording over the baptismal prescription. I mean, people get divided over things that aren't as big as whether we believe there is a God. Has He spoken to us? If so, did He speak to us through His Word? Is that trustworthy? Is that an infallible, inerrant book that we can really trust as His revelation? Did He show Himself in the person of Jesus Christ? And is Jesus Christ the means by which we can actually know God? Now, if we can agree on that, everything else is pretty insignificant, because that's the part that gets us in relationship with God and in fellowship with each other. I think that what happened in the writing and then in the incredible reception to the book Indivisible is that people in this country are really forced to look at the things that matter the most, the things that are those truths that keep us from being divided and that truly do bring us together. And I'm so grateful. I was so thrilled that you asked me to write a foreword in the book and an endorsement of it. And I'm glad it turned out well, because I didn't want to endorse a book that was a skunk. And so that one was a good one. And no, but it's really a remarkable book. And I congratulate you, you know, to be on the New York Times bestseller list with it. It's not a surprise to me, because when I read it, my words were, this is a game changer.
Yeah.
This is a game changer.
Well, I want to see the game changed by changed people. Because, you know, we could pass every law appropriately, even in harmony with the Word of God and the law of God and even our founders' intent. We could come back and reconfirm all of it. We could really pass principled policies and get them in place. But it's like Burke said. He said, you know, if our unbridled passions control us, then they will create the fetters that bind us. Mm-hmm. And if we don't get people changed, we could vote right, vote all the right people, and we should, because we've got some people that don't need to be in leadership roles because their worldview is literally inverted. They got God on the bottom, proper principles out of place. They don't understand. And so we need new leadership, but we've got to have changed hearts. I don't think there's any substitute for a spiritual awakening that this nation, I believe, must experience, but I think the stage is set for us to experience it.
I totally agree. And one thing I think we have to be careful of, just because somebody running for office, and it doesn't matter at what level, whether it's the city council, all the way up to President of the United States, there are a lot of people who, when they run, they'll tell us that they are on God's side. I'm not interested in someone using God. I'm interested in whether God is using them.
Yeah.
And there is a huge difference between whether or not a person is using God as a part of the platform to appease those of us who are believers and who would be somehow magnetically drawn to the words. But what I want to know is, does that person live that out? How is it carried out in his or her daily life? Are we seeing the real sense in which there's an humble walk before a holy God, and there is a sense in which that person is saying, God, use me. Use me whether I win, use me whether I lose. Not just, Lord, I'll be faithful if I win. Mm-hmm. Because that's not surrender. Surrender is just like it was for the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Our God will deliver us, but if He doesn't, He's still our God. Exactly. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the story I got from John Ramsey. It was not, I prayed and God made everything better. He prayed and things got a whole lot worse.
That's right.
And He still remained faithful. That's the power of real faith and trust.
Yes, He did.
I think our founders too, James, and I think it's one of the things you and Jay really allude to in the book, they never intended for any one entity or person to have so much power that they would be unchecked. That was the whole point of the genius, just the brilliance of our form of government, is that nobody can get so carried away with power that they are unchecked by some other form of power. Even if they're right, they need to be checked, because we, in the human condition we have, are subject to vanity and ego and a level of pride that would give us that sense that once I get everything I want, I start believing I deserve everything I get. Therein is the danger. That's such a trap. Because if we weren't sinners, wouldn't be a problem. But we are sinners. And we need to have that accountability that comes from somebody, even unfairly, putting a body check on us from time to time out there in the on the hockey floor. That's what it's about.
Absolutely. And isn't it really all about being able to communicate and talk and not fight?
Yeah.
I mean, everything now is sound bites. I mean, and we go from that, or it's either politically correct or incorrect. I am so tired of hearing those two phrases that we've taken even our principles and our foundations and we've put them into that file there. If we don't like it, it's politically incorrect.
Well, you know, Betty, politics has essentially become my bumper strips are better than your bumper strips. And everything is reduced down to a bumper strip, seven words or less, and my seven words are better than yours. And, you know, you pull up behind a car and it has 27 bumper strips all over it, and you think, you know, I don't have to have a conversation with you. All I got to do is read your bumper, man. I mean, you tell me how you feel about the environment and about taxes and everything. I get the whole picture here. So why bother?
You appreciate Governor Huckabee and his stand and his influence. What's the title of the radio program? What's it going to be?
It's really original. The radio program is called The Mike Huckabee Show. Isn't
that? That's great. He really had to work on that one.
Yeah, we paid some consultants a lot of money to come up with that title.
Now, you're going to stay with Fox on your
Huckabee
Show?
Yeah, we'll still do the Fox Show every weekend. And
your daily, do you still do the little...
The commentaries, right.
We're
doing commentaries on about 600 radio stations all over the country. The new long-form radio is 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday. And then, of course, I'll do Fox television on the weekends. And other than that, I just kick back and relax.
Well, I hope you do get to relax. So I want to ask you to do another program with us this week. And I really want to ask you, how important is it for people who say they have faith, believe in God, to vote, to register to vote, and to get informed about the issues they're going to vote on? Is that important, Governor?
It's very important.
Well, would you talk with me about that in another program?
I promise I will.
Would you like for Governor Huckabee to talk about the importance of involvement?
What if they had voted not to have me back? Would we?
Oh, no, this is your group. Here is Yousea's book, A Simple Government. It's great. I really believe if people read Indivisible and A Simple Government, the whole thing would change overnight.
I think that's a great idea.
Well, I do recommend that you do that. Governor, we're doing something that, well, I'm going to tell you, you're about to get your heart touched very deeply because we are involved in George Clooney, you know, came back a Hollywood actor showing people the horrors of Sudan. And as I was watching, and knowing he was in very dangerous areas, I was quite amazed at the difference in the areas where he was, where our missionaries work. And you're going to get a little glimpse of that. And yet what Clooney was talking about is so 100% right. All of his concerns so tremendously legitimate for all of us to have. And I'm with you, Mr. Clooney, in every way in that regard. Love for you to come on and talk sometime. We'll talk about the Lord. I think you'd like to hear your view on that, and you might like to hear mine. It'd be an interesting conversation. But you are so right about the need to be concerned, and what you're about to see, Governor, is as touching as anything I've seen in a long time. And listen, here's the thing. You're not about to see something that's difficult to deal with. We can deal with this. Yeah, you can. We don't just have to look. You can absolutely change it. Watch.
We've spent the day in this village, and the need here is as great as I've ever seen it.
For me, it's a camp full of misery, a camp full of people who have just been through just a living hell because their villages have been burned, their husbands killed, their children killed.
We asked a little girl, what did you eat? And she said, nothing. And another woman told us, we came here and we lost 10 children. They're not asking for much. They just want to eat. Like one lady said, the child I have that survived the walk, she's now showing the signs that my child that died, and there's nothing she can do to prevent it. She just has to hope and pray that somebody will come and help.
Let's join together as Christians who should care about the poor and the needy and the suffering. Let's help them to get back to health, and we can do that by simply providing a bowl of food that brings hope.
You know, Jim Pierce that you just listened to has been carrying cameras all over the world now for more than 20 years with all of our mission outreaches. Janice Meyer has been to 50 countries on the mission field with us. Betty, when you hear their heart expression asking us to help, and you see that little child had all those flies, that's not something we show you to have a dramatic effect. We realize that a lot of people just automatically want to, you know, turn away or leave the channel. That's where that little child lives. That little child is just like a corpse still moving. They're that near death. And when I see those images, and I think sometimes, I don't know if I have enough ability or the words to really express adequately what I think people need to hear and understand.
All I can say is what you just saw is all true, and even more devastating. So many children that if they just had a bowl of food, they could make it to another day. And to be able to continue, James, to get that nourishment to them. They'll stand in lines all day long if you let them know there's something at the end of that line, at the front of that line, when they get their turn, there's going to be something in their container for them, and it's going to be some food. Please help us.
We got a message, you remember, from Janice just before she made that appeal. And she sent us a message and said, there are two children dying every day trying to get to the lines for food. As I watched them putting the food in the bowls, I noticed that it wasn't our typical porridge mix. Sometimes it's hard to get some of our pre-processed mixes even into the area to transport them. But as I asked the question, because I said, this looks more like grains and everything, they said the mission workers did research to find out exactly what they needed to turn it around for them. That's the kind of mission workers we work with. That's the kind of people that go and plant their lives in the midst of pain and suffering by divine assignment and with the love of God in their heart. But here's the thing I want you to understand, please. We are an expression of the heart of God and an extension of His hands. We as believers, those who love God and love our neighbor. But you must understand, those missionaries are literally in place to personally, directly extend the hands, but you enable them to do it. You're the ones that put the food in the bowls. We've got 20,000 children right there where you were just looking who are dying. We need to add that 20,000 to the hundreds of thousands that we're already feeding. And we've been doing this for years, saving lives, millions and millions of lives saved. Because someone like you would simply dial the number, take a bank card and use it the best way you'll ever use it. Make the largest gift you can to help save lives. Would you do it? Or you can go online, lifetoday.org, and make your gift. You write a check, make it to Life, but call the number and tell us you're mailing it. Because we need to know so we can tell the missionaries, yes, you can count on it. $30, $50, $100 feeds 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. Would you make that life-giving call? Please do it. Father, I pray every person watching would move right now toward the phone or go online and make the gift you put on their hearts so we can give life. In Jesus' name, I want to thank you. Please, I believe you're doing it. If you ever call and get a busy, you be determined. I am going to rescue as many children as I can. If you could help us save 10 lives, please do it. But whatever you do, it's important. We're going to send you some special gifts to bless you, to bless your children, to bless you in your life, and to say thank you for sharing life.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference and help save a life. In addition to the 400,000 children already in Life's Mission Feeding Program, our teams have found a region in South Sudan with another 20,000 children in need of immediate life-saving assistance. Our mission teams are in place, but we desperately need your help to replenish critically needed food supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll rush you the Jesus Storybook Bible. This beautifully illustrated book will help your children discover for themselves that Jesus is at the center of God's great story of salvation and at the center of their lives, too. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request our new international version and new King James Side-by-Side Bible with a two-column format for easy comparison. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online right now.
The picture on your screen is a picture of desperate need, of desperation, of a life being stolen away by a killer called malnutrition, the simple lack of adequate nutrition in a child's life. You say, well, what do we do about that? How do we bring hope back into that situation? How do we take a child like this that weighs less than half what she should at her age and turn that situation around? This is how you do it. You open your heart today and you give the very best gift that you can give, because by giving that gift, you literally will be providing hope to children who so desperately need it. And that's why we're looking to you, counting on you, to say, I'll do what I need to do. I'll give that gift today. I'll save that life.
I do want to thank you, Betty, and I say in behalf of the missionaries and so many families that are going to be grateful for what you did for them and their children. We say thank you. We will be sending you Indivisible. Governor Huckabee, I appreciate so much saying it can be the game changer. It can change the direction of our nation. It's really the answers to the questions that we should be asking, and most people are, the concerns we have. How do we graciously and wisely address them? How do we present them? And it will focus your prayers, and we can correct our national ship of state. We'll be sending you the Children's Bible and the Side-by-Side Bible to bless you. Join Betty and me in saying a great big thank you to Governor Mike Huckabee.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Honored to be here. Thank you, Betty.
Tomorrow on Life Today, former Governor Mike Huckabee.
My commitment is not to a political party. My commitment is to Jesus Christ.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.